Karen Lewis's big mouth is getting her into big trouble. Designed like a giant mouth with fangs for the Burning Man Festival in 2005, Karen's giant interactive sculptural bed is just waiting for some lucky owner to sink their teeth into it. Titled The Bed in Your Head, Karen's big bed work of art looks like a set piece from a Rocky Horror Picture Show themed Disney park ride. Measuring 11 by 13 feet and 12 feet tall, this bed is looking for a new home, and lots of folks are demanding she hand over the toothy sleeping sculpture.
Today, artist Karen Lewis joins us to talk about The Bed in Your Head, her big, fluffy, mouth-shaped bed sculpture that's got a life of its own, plus a salute to big mouths in movies, from Jaws to Rocky Horror and Audrey 2 to the alien xenomorphs. Why are so many of them queer icons?
Take it from me, the big mouth, Martha Ray. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Do you dream of having a great smile, but the cost of orthodontics seems out of reach? With Uniform Teeth, that's all changed. Uniform Teeth is a tech-enabled orthodontic clinic that makes teeth aligning faster, easier, and more affordable. Their proprietary 3D technology can cut down treatment times from 1 to 2 years to 6 to 8 months on average. All treatments are supervised by licensed orthodontists with years of experience at clinics in Chicago, San Francisco, and Seattle. Do like I did and visit uniformteeth.com to get clear aligners at 40% less than Invisalign. Plus, get an extra $150 off with the code FEAST150. Book your free consultation at uniformteeth.com. Again, that discount code is FEAST150.
Hello.
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 Hello. Is this Karen Lewis?
Oh, it is. Who's this?
Ah, this is your old friend Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, Karen Lewis.
It's nice to talk to you as well.
Is that your bed, or are you just happy to see me?
Well, since I can't see you, I guess it's just my bed.
That's a pretty big bed you got there, honey.
It is. It is. It's a California king inside that their mouth.
Karen, in terms of like bed sizes, like everybody's familiar with the twin size bed they're given when they go to prison or a college dormitory.
Oh, yeah. I remember my prison bed.
And then when you start having sex, you grow into a queen.
Oh, you get a double, right? It's double then queen.
I don't know if there's such a thing as a double. I've never seen a double size bed.
Yeah, it's a double size bed.
I had a double growing up. It was my grandmother's bed.
Yeah.
And she died in it. And for some reason, my parents thought this was an okay idea to transport that mattress from Cleveland, Ohio down to Charlotte, North Carolina and have it be my bed. Isn't that weird?
Did it have any blood or bodily fluids on it?
No, it didn't. And it's funny, at the time it didn't strike me as weird. It's only been recently I've been thinking about it, how kind of weird that was.
Well, my sister died in a bed. Fausto was very freaked out to discover that he had slept in that bed and also that there was blood from her death scene in that bed.
It was an uncomfortable twin size bed, and I'm changing the sheets, and Mark's brother, Marty, is standing there, and he's like, oh yeah, she died on that bed. And I was like, are you kidding me?
So were you visited by a ghost?
Well, no. I was possessed by a ghost.
But the thing is,
far more exciting.
I mean, people die in their beds all the time. What do? Just throw it out because they died in it?
Well, no, of course not, but it was very caved in the middle. I guess, you know, I think I just never told, maybe I never expressed this. You know, just like, I don't know. You just kind of go with shit when you're,
I can say that.
Yeah, you just kind of go with stuff when you're home, when you're a kid, you know.
Sure.
You're like, okay, well, now all of a sudden you're going to be sleeping in this bed. Okay.
Why not? But yeah, if it's uncomfortable, then you don't want to sleep in it.
Yeah, it was, but for whatever reason, I never complained. As long as I got my Tooth Fairy money, I guess I was all right.
Ooh, the Tooth Fairy.
How much did you get? What's the maximum amount of money you ever got from the Tooth Fairy? Do you remember?
Let me see.
I was $20, which
what?
Was a lot.
That was a lot of money.
$20?
We got like quarters.
Holy, Man, yeah. I think the most I ever got, $1 at the most. Mm-hmm. It was usually more like 50 cents.
Do you know what I used, though, with the Tooth Fairy money?
What?
I saved it and bought a ColecoVision.
Ooh.
It was an upgrade from an Atari.
ColecoVision.
Wow.
We had something from even before that. It was a Mac. Was it from Magnavox?
Or what was it? Ping Pong?
No,
Gnip-Gnop.
No, I can't even think.
Mark's just making sounds.
There is actually there was a toy.
It was called Gnip-Gnop. Yeah.
But there was Pong. But were you a person that just kind of let your teeth fall out naturally, or did you yank them out?
Oh no, they fell out naturally.
Okay, we always kind of toyed with ours, and we did have a sister because I grew up in a big family, so there's always going to be shenanigans. So of course we had to do the whole tie a string around the tooth and close the door. And my sister Madeline, and we did that, and the tooth, you know, it didn't come completely off, but it helped leverage it a little bit.
I think maybe I tried that once. I mean, you know, I'd always fiddle with the teeth when they're in your mouth. It's such a weird feeling too, like, and it's something that I can still remember the feeling of that, the way the gum feels underneath the tooth when it's halfway out. Tasty.
And the blood coming, and you're like, tastes like iron.
Yeah, and the sadness knowing that you've lost your last tooth and you'll never experience that again.
We make that mistake once, you know, like that comic book Little Rascals style of tying a rope around your tooth and slamming the door. That happens in family households once, and it's so traumatic that the mother is screaming at the father or the kids, don't do that again. Okay, Karen, so according to Hair the Musical, you can lie in bed, you can die in bed, you can live in bed, you can laugh and give your heart and break your heart in bed. But in your case, you're making art with a bed. For Burning Man.
True, true.
A giant-sized bed called the bed in your head. Why didn't you just call it the big fat bed?
A teeth bed.
Well, I tell you why. Because it was part of a greater installation, actually. Yeah. The theme that year was the psyche. And the idea started as wanting to talk about dreams and what people dreamed about at night, and going and, you know, talking to people kind of documentary style, having people telling me what they dreamed about, and then
so you're filming people. So for people who don't know, like, Burning Man is where San Francisco's, California's nouveau riche, the Bitcoin Facebook billionaires.
Oh, come on now. No,
out with future contestants from American Idol as they try to avoid being run over by minivans as they sleep in dust in tents in the middle of the desert.
Now, how long did you spend crafting that fine piece of trash?
Describing what I see. No, I'm just describing what I see.
But you've been going to Burning Man
for
how many
years?
Well,
you've never gone, have you? So, you know,
I would not want to go.
Foster doesn't like camping. He complains about camping.
I noticed that at Burning Man, when I read about it, all the wealthy people bring in
yurts,
Winnebagos and expensive vehicles with bathrooms and running water.
Yes, yes, they do. It has become more like a city than its original incarnation, which was like a village.
But it's a temporary city. It blossoms like a flower in the desert in the middle of the night, only to die quickly.
A temporary city. And yes, all those things that you mentioned are there, but I would say that is not the majority of what it is.
Do you know somebody who's been run over or stepped on while they're sleeping in their tent?
No, thank God. But I do know someone who had a fire that started in their camp. And then after that, tiki torches were no longer allowed in anyone's camp. So,
But you know, and seriously speaking, though, Burning Man is where a lot of amazing sculpture experiences, performance art, eccentric people from California and the United States gather to create the world to create this, like, magical city that lasts only a week, right?
That is true, yes.
And they're called burners, right?
Yes, but it's not happening this year. Although it is happening in a VR space, which they did for the first time last year. So people are creating, you know, all kinds of installations and experiences that you can experience through VR.
I'm going to be selling $20 bottles of water virtually.
So, well, the event. So the mouth was part of a greater piece of work at right. Burning Man. And so what was okay. the greater piece of
right.
work?
So circling back to that. So we were talking about people's dreams, and the bed was surrounded by these seven neurons.
You mean video cameras or video monitors?
No, they had monitors within them that were shaped kind of like neurons, you know, so evocative of the brain, if you will. And so that was kind of the first idea, and the bed itself was originally just going to be sort of like just a standard, just like nothing special, just a steel welded frame around it with a canopy over the top, and then people could watch the series of little vignettes, you know, looking up at that. And this was a piece, it was done in collaboration.
Sorry, I'm confused. So the idea behind the bed was people were to lay in this bed and watch vignettes right. on a canopy above them?
Yeah, that was the original okay. idea that myself and my fellow co-artist Max Alstadt had come up with. But what I said to Max was, I said, no, we can't just have a plain bed. Like, it's got to be something itself. It's got to be a dream itself. It's got to be visually enticing. You got to, you know, we want people to from far away be able to see this thing and want to come and check this thing out.
And I'm looking at photos of this bed, and you guys can go to feastoffun.com and see. It does look like something right out of a Rocky Horror Picture Show ride at Disney, which, you know, Frankenfurter is a Disney princess, and because it's owned by Disney. Or like Tim Burton, like a movie prop that never made it into one of his movies. It's very it reminiscent of Beetlejuice or
It's fantastical.
It's very fantastical. It's a giant bed with fangs in it and a gold tooth in the middle of it. And, you know, these neurons that you describe them look more like, you know, eyeballs on snake-like bodies. And they look like they're about to attack you. So it is kind of a commentary on like Americans who watch a lot of TV in their bed before going to sleep. Right?
It could be that. It wasn't intentionally that, but you know, art is always a conversation between the maker and the viewer and what happens when someone experiences the work. So I have to say yes to all of it.
So when you put this out at Burning Man, you know, people who are like, you know, on acid or drunk or stumbling through the desert, see this bed on the playa, as they call it, the flat plain, and they're like, I can fuck on this thing.
And so when you say like art is a conversation between the art and the viewer, and that you have to say,
well, you can fuck on anything out there, you know, I mean,
but a bed is a really nice, it's a nice surface. It's a clean surface, relatively speaking, for that space.
Yeah. Except the thing is, so many people were out there and in it that it really kind of functioned more as a conversation pit. I mean, that may have happened. I spent a great deal of time, you know, out there during the festival, just interacting with people. I was not witness to anyone having sex in the bed, although I did see some photos afterward of some kind of like, I don't know, like some rope work, if you will, of someone being tied to one of the corners.
Yeah, some bondage.
It's a special kind of bondage, though, because it looks like it's a combination of like macrame and like sadomasochism.
Well, Most people would say that it looks like a corset, lacing of a corset, those teeth. So I'm not really clear where you're getting the back of it.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fetish of...
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but every time I see it, I just think like, you know, where's the beads?
The rope.
Where's the owl?
The rope tying.
Where's the clay pot and the fern?
That would be so funny.
Oh, wow. Human macrame,
That's a great idea, though, to do some tying with all that. Oh, it would be so horribly delicious. So
you say the conversation between an artist and somebody doing the art is you have to say yes to everything. So if I look at your art and I say to you, Karen, this mouthpiece makes me think that you should give me $1 million, is that a yes from you?
That is a yes that you think I should give you $1 million.
Oh, damn, tricked by art again. But, you know, it's interesting. So you've got these eyeballs that are acting like neurons, and it's feeding into the bed, right? That's what's going on. It's kind of interesting because, you know, I was thinking about, like, I saw some, like, an x-ray of a jaw recently, and it has, like, these, you know, your jaw and your teeth are so directly connected to your brain that the nerve endings are, you know, they show up on x-rays, they're there, they're big. And so it's amazing just like how much our mouth is part of our network to our brain. And what they've also discovered too now is that our bones, which are teeth are part of the bones, are the thing that create that flight or fight response. They release some kind of energy, like some kind of signal to the body, like, this is going on. This is, you know, fight or flight. And that's why, like, when you're scared, probably, like, well, your teeth chatter. You know, I haven't had my teeth chatter in a while, but, like, I've been scared before. I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening with my teeth?
Because you ain't afraid of no ghosts.
there's a lot going on in the mouth, which is another reason why I really like that symbol. Because it's, you know, it's both, you know, it's most basic where you're eating, it's carnal, and then, you know, it's where conversation occurs, higher thought, you know, art, it's all of that.
Yeah, I feel it.
And do you ever dream about your mouth?
I do, which is part of why the bed became that, because I wanted it to be from a dream that I had, and it was I haven't had it in a long time, but recurring dream of my teeth falling out, actually, you know, and feeling one kind of loose and wiggling it and then, you know, pulling that out. But then all of a sudden, more and more start coming out and kind of cracking off.
According to dream therapists, like, teeth falling out is a very common thing that happens in people's dreams.
Sure.
And it's a symbol for significant life changes and loss.
Yes. Yes.
So abrupt endings of relationships, a job change, a death of a family member, moving to another city, all those things will make you think that you're losing your teeth in your dreams.
Yeah, which actually, you know, hearing you say that again makes it even more, I don't know, kind of interesting that this thing has come back in my life in a big way again after having my department close at my day job and, you know, working on this thing again. It's like,
and in some ways this bed is haunting you in real life. It measures 12 by 13. What is like the dimensions of this bed? Like 12 by 13 by how tall
by
is
12 it? And a half, 12 and a half feet.
It's almost like a 13-foot cube, right? And how much does this thing weigh?
I don't know. I really have no idea.
So it's enormous. And
it's enormous.
And it's inside
it's
somebody's house right now in a very expensive part of San Francisco. And the woman's like, please get this thing out of my house. And you're like, I don't know where to take it.
Well, that could be one way of putting it. Well, you could also put it that it's in a warehouse in Oakland that, yes, someone, a live work warehouse that someone is living in. And, yes, she would like it to, be out, and I need to have it out by September. Originally I thought I had a month to do it. Fortunately, it turned out that I then knew the person that moved in. But yeah, during that initial month, it, you know, became a real scramble and became a real focus for me, which actually was good because I wasn't sure what I was to to be focusing on. And I thought, well, this giant mouth is screaming at me for attention once again, just like it felt when I was working on it before. It felt like it was kind of calling the shots. And it's funny how sculpture, well, art does that. It seems to take over and you have to do what it wants, or at least that's what it feels like. So yeah, I started, you know, posting it, doing rehab on it. The gums needed some redoing.
Periodontal disease.
Yeah, it's a little gum issue. Taking care of your gums, very important. Very important thing to do.
You're flossing and brushing teeth. But look, Karen, what's the journey of this mouth? So people came, they celebrated it at Burning Man, and this was how many years ago? And like, what's happened in between?
Oh, let's see. So in between, it came back very, very dusty. Sat in pieces for a while. Then it was reassembled inside, but only partially. Originally, it was actually 13 and a half feet tall, and that was actually too tall to be in the warehouse. 12 and a half feet mm-hmm. was about all it could take, so it had to get hacked down. But it was used as an office space for a while for one of my roommates. He had this company where he was making these, it was called Monkey Electric, and he was making these lights to go on bike lights. So he was developing all the the electronics, the boards, and doing the coding and everything inside the mouth. So that happened there. Then
he was working, you know, on a bed, or he had the bed outside of the mouth?
No, the bed itself wasn't actually in there, like the bed proper. It was just, it was the frame of it, and he was on the platform.
Okay.
Using it.
So Mark wants to know, basically, was there anything that happened between Burning Man and now it's sitting in this woman's house and she's screaming at you, get this bed out of here?
Well, no, because I lived there for a long time myself. So, you know, I was using it basically to, you know, when we would have parties, people would come and hang out in it. Sometimes I would sleep in it. You know, it's just kind of a hangout thing. And then when I moved out of that space, and conveniently, I just kept finding people that, you know, wanted to be there, and people ended up using it as their bed. And that's kind of how it went for a while.
So the bed is for sale right now, and you put it on social media, and all of a sudden, you become the bed lady.
Mouth bed
lady. I become the bed lady. Yeah,
and so all these people have been trying to swindle you, or I guess trying to sneakily convince you to give this very expensive work of art, handing it over to them.
Yes, they have. It's true.
What is it like? There was like a strange eccentric nightclub that was trying to like make an argument why you should hand over the bed to them.
Yes. They thought that that I should give it to them and they could have it in their club, because they thought I just wanted the you know, thousands of adoring fans to come and see it and it have a good home, and wouldn't that be enough? And it's like, no. And then I said, well, would I at least get an open tab, you know, for the rest of my life for me and my friends? No response. I'm like, really? Not even drinks. You're not even going to give me any drinks. And then they contact me later about it, you know, and like, oh, but
why would they,
we don't
think
have
that
any money right now
the bed
because COVID and. What's that?
Why do you think they want the bed? Like, you know, right now I heard rumors that, or you were telling me that there was like a heist, that somebody was like trying to bribe the woman.
they want to steal the bed?
They're trying to steal the bed. They're trying to like get the bed by any means other than paying for it. Why is it so hard for people to pay for art?
People don't respect art or artists. That's why.
But they want it though. It's like the you know, Dalmatian puppies and Cruella de Vil. Like, I must have that bed.
I must have it.
It's so big. Yeah,
there was also another guy that was the front for some like thrasher metal band or something that said that he's starting a live music venue in a BDSM club in a 135-year-old church. So he kind of he wanted it for that.
What's the name of the band?
Let's see.
Smash Mouth?
No.
What other kind of weird offers have you gotten?
I'll find it for you real quick. Let's see. What else? There was a photo studio that had a vampire theme. They were interested in it. There was a haunted house that was interested in it.
I tried to get Peaches Christ, who does Peaches Terror Vault Productions, to see if she was interested, and she absolutely loved it. And she was just like, I wish I had a home for this. But her partner, who's a spoil sport, said no.
No,
he's just, you know, it didn't fit with their theme this year.
Oh, really? Like, so Peaches Christ's husband said absolutely no.
Business partner.
The business partner.
Well, not
what do you mean the theme this year? They have themes every year?
Well, she's an industrious queen, you know. She's got her Terror Vault that she's done at the Mint. She has other projects, which are unnamed at this point in time, that she's looking at.
Sure,
and so
sure.
It's a bunch of different stuff. And so, but she absolutely loved it. And I think I'm sure she would love to lie in that bed at some point in time.
Well, new sheets, maybe. Though.
Yes.
With clean sheets.
With clean feet.
Has anybody like any adult film companies, any kind of like, you know, more... you know, X-rated uses of this bed. Rocky Horror fans, have you pitched it to Sony? What is it? 20th Century Fox Pictures?
You know, I guess over the past few weeks, I've just started doing some serious pitching. I was super busy just kind of doing the rehab on it and just taking care of some other, you know, like doing more shoots of it. So now I'm kind of ready to really do some more serious marketing.
You're on the morning news, and like I'm even noticing that like newscasters like weirded out by the
mouth. They don't know what getting traction, and people are really
Cody, I think he really liked it. Actually,
you think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would have...
But it was a very, slack jaw kind of moment where he's like, wow, that mouth is really big. What can he stick in it?
He didn't say that.
Hmm. Well, have you contacted Sotheby's?
No, I haven't, not yet. But some rapper named Freezy Badass in Nigeria wanted to be my friend on Facebook, so maybe he'll want it.
Oh, wow. Is he one of those princes with lots of money?
It doesn't look like it.
Oh, it must be hard to be like an artist or royalty from Nigeria at this point in time in the history of the internet. You know what I'm saying? Like, does Nigeria have royalty?
I'm not sure.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not.
I could Google that, but I'm not going to.
I also got some requests from some military personnel in Sirakunda, Gambia, but I'm a little hesitant to befriending people in the military. But then, you know, maybe I can make up my own kind of militia force for the bed to protect it if it comes to that point. Some people like in the U.S. military contacted me too. And what's that?
A warlord wants the bed.
That would be something. I don't think this guy was a warlord. His uniform looked quite official.
Because you're kind of becoming like this media darling, because you're kind of being, sometimes like we develop these relationships with objects or people or jobs.
Yes.
They're, you know, I mean, people talk about their wives or their husbands as the ball and chain, right? Or the work. But in this case, it's this giant mouth.
Two-tone mouth bed. Yes. Yes. And sometimes it's a dream and sometimes it's a nightmare. It definitely goes between the two of those.
Someone listening right now, if they want to write a check, get the bed out of your hands, how much will you, what's the asking price? Can I ask you that?
Well, you can ask me that. If someone wanted to cut me a check right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
$500,000.
Well, sure. I mean, that would be
okay. That's a little too high. Can we give it? Can we get it for $100,000?
I mean, I'm no Yayo Kusama, so
we're gonna turn. We're gonna put this on Wish.com. Can we get this for $25,000?
No, I would say you can get it for $40,000.
Okay.
All right.
Sold.
Who wants the mouth bed?
Or, you know, I'd be willing to take a couple Bitcoin.
50,000, 60,000 over the bed, over there, 60,000 over here, 60,000 over the bed, 40,000. Sold.
I'd take a couple Bitcoins, you know.
How much is Bitcoin? Listen, you don't want to be getting Bitcoin right now.
It might go back up.
It's been hovering. It's been a wild ride the past week. But
Bitcoin is $37,000.
Have you tried marketing it to Russian oligarchs? Because they're flush with all sorts of money.
No, but I like this idea. Yeah. I actually did get a query actually yesterday from someone who's some kind of producer down in LA, I think, of VR experiences. Mm. So that, you know, that could be something. But yeah, you know,
I could see it as like a movie set, you know?
It could be. I think my dream for it, though, honestly, is I think I would prefer for it to be in a museum.
Yeah.
Like, if my kind of dream about it would be, that it's in a museum. Because if it ends up in a private home, then not that many people are going to be able to experience it. So I'd rather it.
That's not a bad idea, because the Jaws puppet, the puppet that Steven Spielberg used to make the shark come alive for the original Jaws movie, is in a museum?
The Academy Museum of Motion Pictures, which just opened in Los Angeles. And of this past year, it's like they're supposed to have Jaws. And they just, did pretty much what you did to your teeth, kind of refurbished it. Mm-hmm. And so the Jaws that they have in there is I guess they made four models, and this was at Universal Studios for a long time. And so then somebody, it was sitting in your puppet, in the desert getting dusty, or your piece of work, got dusty in the desert. And so they rehabbed it. And what's interesting about Jaws though, is it has a name. Its name is Bruce. They call it Bruce. So the puppet's, what's interesting though, the puppet's name is Bruce. And, in the 70s when this show was made, it was a very, very a gay sounding name was Bruce. Like if you were gay, that was the gay name Bruce.
It was code.
Because of the Jaws, really? Right? We have a friend, Vivacious, and she calls her, her nickname used to be Jaws.
What about Bruce Lee?
Because I don't think so. Right?
I don't think so.
And so, the point I'm trying to make, though, is that, it's our friend Vivacious, her nickname was Jaws because she loved to perform, on
oral.
Men.
Yeah, oral.
And so they called her Jaws. And so I think because of these teeth, teeth are so iconic, we often think of them and relate them to oral sex. And so they're like, it's this Jaws and his name is Bruce. Right.
I don't think they named Bruce. I don't think at the time the Jaws came out, they named the shark Bruce because they wanted the shark to be gay.
Yeah.
It just happened to be Bruce was code, name Mary.
Yeah.
In gay culture for somebody or exact,
I understand.
And Family Guy actually had a character who was the shark named Jaws, and it was voiced, and they called it Bruce too, and it was voiced by this and had the same Southern gay accent as another character on the show. So it had the same voice and that. So, Jaws is gay because he likes to just devour men.
I feel like we're getting a little off topic now.
What else do you want to talk about with your mouth?
Do you want to talk about? What else do I want to talk about?
I have a whole list to entertain.
We got a listicle here.
Are you
here.
Prepared to be entertained, Karen? Are you going to be entertained? Do you want to be entertained? I got a whole list.
Mark put together a list of
iconic mouths in film.
Well, one interesting thing, because
let me tell you about the one other thing that I actually might end up doing, that I have a friend that has a cannabis distribution company that is interested in having it come to a trade show in Las Vegas and be part of his setup. So I feel like that maybe could be an interesting adventure.
So the mouth bed is for rent or sale $40,000 if you want to buy it. Renting it starts at $300 an hour.
Renting it, you know, we'll talk.
But people can
go to my site, mouthbed.com, email me, and you'll see my email there, and yeah, we'll
That's a good domain name, though. Mouthbed.com or bedinyourhead.com, too, right?
Yeah, I have both, but I decided, you know, to tell Mouthbed is far easier to remember and is more about what the piece is now, you know, because it's the neurons are gone, the video. I still have the video, but it's not really part of it. Although I have considered actually reworking that because originally really just wanted one towering neuron to come over the top and project down. But we ended up not doing that because I was just concerned about only having one projector out there because electronics are always so crazy out there. So I thought, okay, well, if we have seven of these things, then if one goes out, at least the other ones will work. Fortunately, all of them worked the entire time. I had a really great person handle all the electronics and lighting named Ron Halbert, so he made sure all that stuff it worked the whole time. You know, I don't know. Maybe that'll happen again, but I don't know. It's all kind of a unfolding journey.
This is like something that belongs in that rich lady's house in Beetlejuice, you know?
Yes.
And part of it is like, you know, with the movie Jaws, that inspired the marketing, which actually, I believe Jaws is 20th Century Fox, and also so is Rocky Horror Picture Show. The marketing for Rocky Horror Picture Show was a different set of Jaws. And so the character of Trixie, which was the usherette, was abstracted based on a painting by Man Ray, which was a mouth floating above the city sky.
Yes.
And that has allowed Richard O'Brien to sing the theme rock where science fiction double feature for the film Rocky Horror Picture Show. But that is actually
she
Patricia
was mad
Quinn's
that song. She didn't actually get to sing it.
Patricia Quinn, whose lips those were.
She actually did sing it, and they dubbed her voice out and put Richard O'Brien's mouth voice into it. And it took her a while to get over that.
Well, I'm sure it did.
But, you know, other iconic lips, right? And I guess the character was known as Jaws, but also Trixie was the original name for that character and the lips. And that's where Trixie Mattel got her name from.
Oh, see, I didn't know that mouth actually had a name.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because, you know, your sculpture definitely echoes to, you know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show with the fangs and the juicy red lips. And certainly somebody who is a fan of Rocky Horror Picture Show, or if they ever do a museum for Rocky Horror Picture Show, it's certainly what would be a must-have item for a museum.
It most certainly would be. So let's get that museum going, shall we?
Now,
I don't mind the reference to it, but it's not. It didn't come from that. You know, it's like not really.
You're like the lady who's selling like a glass jar at a yard sale, and people say, "Can I put candy in it?" And it's like, "No, it's only for coins." Now, one of my favorite Muppets or mouths in movies is Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Which was a Muppet.
Another good one.
It was a puppet that was kind of okay for the musical. And, you know, the original musical was more of a comedy. It was more of a parody of musicals. But when they turned it into a film, they brought in Muppet Workshop's Lyle Conway, who was one of the lead creators of The Dark Crystal.
Mm.
And they wanted this, you know, this Audrey 2 to be threatening and juicy and mysterious and queer. And so Audrey 2, even though it's voiced
Audrey 2 was supposed to be queer?
It's voiced by Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops. And in the film, they added the line as, I don't think Audrey 2's such a healthy girl. And Mr. Mushnick says, well, frankly, between the both of us, neither is Audrey one.
Well, so gender nonconforming, right? Because it has Audrey as the name, right? Traditionally a girl's name, but the voice seems like very masculine, right?
Yeah. And so Levi Stubbs
why does that make it gay?
Well, because when someone's assigned a gender that doesn't match expectations, that's considered gender nonconforming. So in terms
okay,
of...
Okay, I can agree with that, but I don't know that makes it gay. But that's not really your point, is it? What's your point?
We're talking about...
That's right, boy.
That's what your bed is saying to you. Don't let me die on the desert, Karen. Yeah. Audrey, too, in that film is just really something that like is extraordinarily... magical because it's all practical effects.
Yeah, and it's all mouth, really. You know, yeah. There's no eyes. There's not much of a body. I mean, there's, you know, it's just vines. And so it really focuses in on that whole idea of like, this mouth is here and it's very threatening. Because what else does it do besides, you know, sing and suck blood and eat people?
Well, you know, the original play, it killed Rick Moranis or, you know, it killed, what was the name of his character in the Little Shop of Horrors?
Seymour. It's pretty much everybody died in the Broadway musical, and then they become...
And the film.
And
supposed to.
Supposed to. And they become part of the puppet, but they, I guess with test audiences in the film, it became so terrible that this mouth just devoured everything and took over the planet. They're just like, no, we need a happy ending. Because, you know, it's Hollywood.
Well, and part of the song, Somewhere That's Green, is referencing the fact that it's sung again by... Audrey to Seymour, saying like, feed me to the plant so I can live forever as part of the plant. And you know, the plant is the mean
that's
green
not
mother.
What that's not what that song was about.
No, they do.
So you can argue with historians and with the Howard Ashman documentary.
I know that show very well. Yeah. And it was about her imagining going off into the suburbs with Seymour.
And then there's a reprise in the film and in the musical where she tells Seymour to feed her, and she once again sings Somewhere That Green, only this time it's recontextualized to becoming
all
part
right,
of the
plant. All right, all right.
We've done six shows on this topic, honey. So, Jaws.
Okay, I guess I didn't realize that the mouth bed was going to be contextualized in this particular kind of way. So carry on.
Well, it's good. Surprises are great.
Yes.
Jaws, the actor, I guess, this is Richard Dawson Keel. He was a giant tall man, like 7 feet tall, who, when is initially portraying the villain, one of the henchmen in The Spy
Who
Loved
Me. I'd like to
be
that tall. I hear you can get your legs broken and you can extend them by 5 to 6 inches.
We've had two people listen to this podcast write to us, say, hey, you know, you guys have been really a great comfort to me as I lay here in bed getting my legs lengthened. We had a couple of people like, I'm like, wow. And they're like, yeah, I'm hoping.
Whoa,
to get,
really?
They were hoping to get at least like 2 inches. So, you know, if you're somebody who's like 5'4" or something like that, or 5'2", you know, those 2 extra inches can really, you know, it can mean a lot to you. Or if you're like 4'11 or something, you can go, I don't know if I asked him because it's been a long time, like, how tall are you? But yeah, I guess they like break your legs in a couple different places.
They break your leg. Yeah. And then there's some adjustment thing, some kind of screw thing. You have to keep screwing it to lengthen your,
In the book and the TV miniseries, but not in the film, The Life and Loves of a She-Devil. The main character of Ruth, she transforms herself into a tall, blonde, beautiful woman through having her legs broken and having that surgery done. And she torments Mary Fisher, her husband's mistress, and drives her insane.
Because I always thought that I had really like long arms, you know, because like, they say like if you spread your arms from like, from tip of your finger to the other tip of the finger, it should be the length of your body, right?
Right.
And so, but if you do that to me, I'm like 6'2" or 6'3", but I'm really only 5'11". So I always thought I just had really long arms, and then I was going to do like work out in a machine. And the guy goes, you don't want to work out on that machine because you have short legs. And I was just like, I didn't know I had short legs.
You thought you had long arms.
I do too.
Yeah. My mom calls me monkey arms whenever I go to visit. She has me getting stuff out of the cabinets and reaching up really high because she has really short arms. And I have long arms. And she says, monkey arms.
When you lived in Chicago, did you ever see the ads for the musical, My Arms Are Too Short to Box with God?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, well, you could probably just punch God squarely in the face with your long monkey arms.
My arms are...
It's a black, it's a black plague.
So it was at the Eric Crow Theater, and it's kind of like reminiscent of
the Box of God.
God, what's his name? Medea, Tyler Perry's films. So it has, you know, it's morality plays aimed at black audiences in the United States.
Based on the Book of Matthew. Interesting. I'll have to check this out.
But you know, they were really, really popular at the time. And you know,
in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah. They were hot.
I was always on television advertising.
My arms are too short to box with God. Mm-hmm. Now the Erie Curve Theater.
It was redone? Because I'm seeing that it was originally in Broadway in 1976.
Yeah, so it's been made over.
And pretty much everybody's in their town has had a production of this play done.
And
we always like watching it. We're like, the title of the play is hilarious. We're thinking of somebody with stubby arms like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Trying to punch into the heavens.
So Richard Kiel, he became a star because he was playing this guy with fucked up teeth.
Yeah.
I guess they were made out of metal.
They were made out of steel, and they were supposed to... It was originally written about in the book, and they were going to have him in The Spy Who Loved Me. He was supposed to die at the end, but people just loved him and his crazy mouth so much that they were just like, bring him back for the next movie. So they had him in Moonraker. So he's one of the few villains that's actually been in two movies.
But he had as a James Bond villain, his character of Jaws has a happy ending. He falls in love and becomes a good guy. He falls in love with a girl with braces in the Swiss Alps. That actually did happen. You know, that's pretty much like every lid. What's your are you married right now or are you domestic partnered?
I have a partner. We've been together almost 10 years now, Dave and I.
What does your partner say about this bed?
Oh, he loves it. Actually,
he's not like, honey, we need to go see a therapist about this.
No. He actually wants to move it into our place. He did a LiDAR scan of it, threw it into...
$40,000.
Oh, I'm sorry.
$40,000.
No, but see, the thing is that if I don't get a certain amount for it, I'd rather have it here and have
it tormenting your friend
and have, you know, have my own parties and gatherings in it and have, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe I'll start doing a podcast from it, you know, live from the mouth bed. Why not?
Bedcast.
I don't know. Mouthpiece. Well, you know, because if it's not going to the right place, then it's going to have to come back here. But anyway, he's really excited about it. What's that?
Is that podcast going to be on OnlyFans?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, really?
Google it, girl.
OnlyFans.
It's an adult film site. We'll put adult content. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know,
but so that's where... Yeah.
I think one of them is just for fans, and the other one's only for fans. And the people who are really into those sites are like hate... One of the other sites, yeah.
Right. Well, I think one takes more of a cut or something. I'm not sure.
One's owned by Republicans, and the other one, like, donates 5% to, like, you know, the rainforest.
Oh.
Or something.
Thank goodness someone in porn is thinking about the rainforest.
Listen, without the rainforest, we're in trouble, honey.
Well, I know.
We're going to have to get on spaceships and go off to other planets and, you know, terraform them and shit.
Getting back to your original question, so he's actually very excited.
He's cool with it.
Yeah, if it does have to come back here, because it's like, we're gonna have to open up the windows in the front of the building, or we're gonna have to create this whole system to pull it up, you know, be like the way they used to have to move pianos into apartments.
Are you guys owning or renting right now?
Own. I own my place.
Okay. So it's not like your landlord's like, what did you put in here?
Mm-mm. I am the landlord.
Okay. I own my place.
Now, it is going to end up being a little bit like that Magritte painting with the giant apple in the what is that called, the listening chamber or the music chamber or something like that.
It's not the castle in the sky that's floating that inspired Avatar.
No, it's the listening chamber. Oh, the listening room. The listening room. So it's this giant apple. It's the only thing I can fit in this room. So that's what our living room is going to be like. It's just going to be this giant mouth. That's the only thing that's going to be in there.
So why don't you put it in your kitchen?
I don't have room. It would be great to be able to put a dining room table in it and just eat in it. Actually, we could do that and not put the bed part in it, but I like the
You guys are turning into that Saturday Night Live skit of Noonie, the European designers and artists.
Oh, I love, yeah.
Who torment their neighbors with strange sculptures.
Yes, that would be good. I'm thinking maybe to put a water bed in it, though. I think that would make a great tongue. We couldn't really do that in the desert because, you know, if that got punctured, that would be it. But here, that would work. I think that would be really nice.
I think like a water bed would be amazing, but also a disaster.
Why? Why would it be a disaster?
Because you lie down on that with the keys in your pocket and suddenly you're swimming.
They're kind of hard.
Sleeping.
They're hard to kind of. It's pretty thick.
Have you ever
plastic.
Slept?
I slept in a water bed, and one time I did it when I was extremely drunk, and it was not a pleasant experience at all.
I have. My uncle had one back in, what, like the 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. or sleeping. Maybe mm-hmm. another time in the 80s, I think I. Yeah. I slept in one, but I mean, not for a long period of time. But I
tried to sleep
in a
water bed.
It's time to bring the water bed back, I think.
I tried to sleep in a water bed, and I was like, this sucks. I mean,
really?
Yeah. It's like, because they have heaters in them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so you turn them on, and it could be the most delightful air conditioned room, but if the mm-hmm. water bed heater is too hot or whatever, it's like you're sleeping in soup. You're like a
Have you ever seen the movie Teeth about the woman with a vagina dentata? It was a horror film.
I've heard of it. I have not actually seen it.
So for most people, like, you know, it's a representation of people's fear of women and femininity and stuff like that.
Sure.
Right. Cause people that don't know, it's a vagina with teeth, and they've actually done research. Have they ever found teeth in a woman's vagina before? And the answer is kind of, sort of.
What? There actually are teeth in the vagina?
So it's not uncommon for some kind of tumor, like if you have a human tumor, for a tumor to kind of sprout some kind of teeth, right? Because it's, you know, and
you are terrifying the gay men that are listening to the show right now.
And so there have been like a case where like there's been a tumor on a vagina, which is, you know, people get tumors everywhere, right? And unfortunately, so one person at least did get it. And so there was some kind of tooth like structure, but no way was it like a vagina with teeth.
I'm seeing some very fascinating images of this right now online. There's some good.
I know some guys that are so horny that if your pussy literally was like the inside of a great white shark, they'd still stick the dick inside there. And gay guys too, you know, it's like, listen, when somebody is horny, you're willing to do all mm-hmm. kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's also interesting because you got the vagina dentata, right? That's got this teeth. And then you look at something like the alien monster from like H.R. Geiger's.
The xenomorph.
The xenomorph.
Yeah.
And it has that secondary mouth that kind of comes out.
Yes.
And that's supposed to be like a phallic representation too. Because like when, like in one of the movies, like when, you know,
Alien versus Predator,
they rip out like one of the things and it's flaccid, like a penis. And when it comes out of the mouth, you know how it has that pause, like that pregnant pause before it attacks you? It's it builds that kind of suspense, but also too, it's it like getting hard so it can like snap and eat away at you.
Hello? She's washing her dishes.
Yeah.
After we told her not to wash her dishes.
No, oh no, it's Dave just started the kettle. Sorry, I'll go to another location.
No, that's okay. It's fine.
No, so at the end of the movie, Aliens versus Predators, the heroine, the woman who survives, she teams up with a surviving predator to fight the alien queen. And she becomes like part of their tribe or something, but they leave her stranded in the Antarctic.
I'm sure she made it
Does
out
she
of
have
it.
A tiny polka dotted mm-hmm. party hat on? Because that would make being stranded there much nicer. No polka dot
hat? They left her with a little scar on her mm-hmm. cheek, but they took all the toys with them.
And I'm sure she could have that scar worked on so she didn't have to live with it for the rest of her life.
I think it was a badge of honor.
Wow.
You know, like, we both fought the queen and lived. Well, one of them didn't live. He died.
And then she can wear it on a sash, like a little a Girl Scout. She has a sash for all her little badges.
I killed the alien queen.
I just found out that Halston, the designer that everybody's talking about because of the Ryan Murphy series.
Yeah.
He redesigned the girl. He's the man. A man designed the Girl Scout outfits. Those iconic outfits. He's the
original ones.
The ones. The
oh,
everybody.
Really?
Yes. The Girl Scout outfits with the sash and all that shit. That every drag queen now imitates and all that shit. Camp Wanakiki, Trixie Mattel, all of them.
Mm.
That's Roy Halston's work.
But which is better, the brownies outfit or the Girl Scout outfit?
Well, they're just different colors, right? You know? So the brownies were the young girls, and then the Girl Scouts were green.
I think the brownies had a different style hat. I think they sort of had like this hat. Brown beret.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the top of an acorn,
yeah.
I think. I don't know. I was never in that. I was a...
Were you a campfire
I was part
girl?
Of the... No, I was part of the, I was an Indian princess. I was in the Apache tribe.
Oh,
this
wow.
is something that the YMCA did.
Yeah, so I was in the, we were Indian guides, right? I was in that too.
Oh, okay.
My father was Big Bear. My brother was Little Bear. And I think I was Running Bear. I forget what it was exactly. We made tomahawks.
I was Wild Tail.
We made tomahawks out of like with wood and stone and wrapped them together.
Yes.
And I painted mine gold and my brother painted his silver. And they were the gayest tomahawks of the whole group. Everybody else was like all natural. We're like, let's paint it gold. Let's, you know, because we had some spray paint.
But yeah, you know, a lot of those child organizations were the costumes that they wore were inspired by like little sailor suits, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the Boy Scouts, they have just a shirt with a little scarf around it and a clip. Mm-hmm. But the Girl Scouts was kind of this like paramilitary uniform that Roy Halston said it was look very chic at the time. He also worked on redesigning Avis, the car rentals outfits. And he's kind of behind the modernization of the flight attendant, that kind of 60s, 70s style. He's the designer.
That's kind of back now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming back now, yeah.
Have you watched Halston on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
It can't be fun. And like the first three episodes are really like, I don't know, by episode three, you're like, oh, I want this to kind of be over. And
Ryan Murphy is great at setting up a party and then crying at it, you know, like he makes this amazing world that you're just like, wow, this is so much fun. This is an adventure. This is wacky and crazy. Like the first episode of Glee, you're like, this is going to be an amazing series. And then everything afterwards is a soap opera. It's melodrama. And to the point that like Halston's family is seeing these series and they're like, what are you doing? Like he never had breakdowns where he cried.
Is it Todd's film?
He's like, don't leave me, please. Like, he never, that never came. This man was made out of steel, you know? Like, he did more cocaine to kill an elephant. He smoked and drank, you know?
Yes.
So the idea of him, like, having a nervous breakdown in every single episode seems a bit of a stretch.
Hey, you know, some people, they're rapid cyclers. They're, you know, their bipolar cannot be controlled. So maybe that's what's going on.
Karen, in terms of movies, like what kind of influences your work? Like,
Alice
in Wonderland certainly does.
Ren and Stimpy, style of Ren and Stimpy was actually a really big influence for me. Ren and Stimpy, but that's not movies though.
There was a Ren and Stimpy movie, but I would say Disney's Alice in Wonderland definitely affected you.
Yeah, I would say that. Dr. Seuss, but again, not a movie, except what is it, the 5,000 Fingers of Mr. T? Is that what, or 5,000 Fingers of they made.
So you don't consider the Jim Carrey Grinch to be a lot of Dr. Seuss fans say that those live action films are horrible.
That really came after I think my aesthetic was form. I love that. But no, more, I would say more from Dr. Seuss directly, the drawings.
The books, yeah.
Of course, I guess now that's bad because, you know, Dr. Seuss has been deemed well, I don't know exactly how to put it.
So Dr. Seuss's estate issued a statement saying that some of his books don't hold up, have problematic or harmful or racist cartoons in them.
Imagery in it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Imagery, and they're pulling them out of circulation. Mm-hmm. This happens to franchise, you know, because they were created at a point in time where people were not wiser, they were more racist, or the government was paying Dr. Seuss to make war propaganda. And, you know, so he and his estate and his family said that, even Dr. Seuss himself said that this is a mistake. This is, I'm not, you know, I'm ashamed of this work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do better, you know, and the family and the state removed those books, but right wingers are using that to try to, to talk about the COVID pandemic, anything other than talking about healthcare, you know? So they use these things to, you know, to get grandma who's watching Fox News in the middle of the night, be like, wait, Dr. Seuss is wholesome. Why would these liberals want to destroy Dr. Seuss?
All the good things he did, and they're destroying it in the trash.
So then people on social media are like, cancel Dr. Seuss. And it's like, Dr. Seuss estate said, these are not good. We're taking them out. We're pulling them out of circulation. That's it. Nothing more. You know, and listen, honey, you dig back on everybody's past, you'll find some shady shit.
Even Shirley Temple.
Well, she was appointed by Reagan, right?
although she didn't have anything to do with those baby burlesques that they put her in, where she had to tame the savages.
Oh,
yeah. She was like in this. You and I were at Walgreens.
I showed you that. That's right. I got a copy of it at the local Walgreens.
A VHS copy of a Shirley Temple.
Terrible.
Brings civilization to the cannibals.
Right. We must civilize these cannibals.
And it feels, the film's quality feels really unnerving.
It's like, why is the quality? What do you mean about the quality?
It just feels like we're watching, you know, a snuff film. We're watching something we should not be looking at.
Well, that's definitely true. You know, especially when they throw her into that boiling pot of water and she's powdering her nose, waiting for the baby Tarzan to come save her while they're all around the pot chanting, "We want food! We want food!"
And then the Tarzan is Diaper Zan.
Yeah.
He's wearing diapers.
But he's like a lot younger than she is. And so he's supposed to come save her. He comes in on this giant elephant, right? And he's supposed to save her, but she's like, come with me, kid. She grabs him by the arm. You're supposed to be saving me. Pull me out of this pot.
Well, Shirley Temple at that age was like 10 years old or 11.
No. This is when she was a lot younger.
A lot younger, but you know, she hadn't matured into her tap dancing ways. But
she was tap dancing as a little kid, 3-4 years old.
Well,
right?
I don't know where she was with the dancing thing, but they didn't use it in this one.
But the Diaper Zan, the little boy who played Diaper Zan, was like half
Daniel
the size
Boone
of her.
Jr. Right. But his name, he was billed as Daniel Boone Jr.
I'm sure you probably could find it on YouTube somewhere.
Well, I can. Maybe. I still have that tape. I should digitize it, put it on YouTube.
Karen, thank you so much for talking about your big fat mouth with us.
Your enormous mouth.
Your gigantic mouth.
The people just love to lay about in.
Does it require like the vinyl? Do you have a like cleaning products for it? Like the
Yeah. I've got some marine vinyl cleaning solution. Yeah, it wipes down really, really easily, really nicely.
So you don't have to take it to a dentist like 2 times a year for X-rays.
That's her job.
Yeah, that's my job. That's my job. You got problems with your giant mouth economy, but I'll tell you, if I had become a dentist, I would have been a lot wealthier, I think, doing all these procedures than on this giant sculpture, but it's not nearly as interesting.
You know, every time I go to my dentist to get my teeth clean, I do ask them, like, you know, do you have a nice house?
Where are you going on your next? Yeah, of course they do.
Do you have a car and stuff like that, you know? No. And they're all broke.
The thing is with dentists is when you enter, they say when you enter into the job as a dentist, you pretty much make about the same amount of money as you do your entire career. Whereas a doctor, you start out making less, and by the end of your career, you make a lot more money. And so a lot of dentists are kind of like more resentful towards the MDs who practice other kinds of medicine.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be working on someone's, I don't know, all day long. Anyway.
Your mouth hole. But Karen, thank you so much for sharing the journey of this incredible mouth bed and from its creation to where it's at now. And I hope it really does find a home that is loved and appreciated, and they floss it and brush it and take care of it. And you know, because bed hygiene, mouth hygiene, it's all very, very important.
A bed is a terrible thing to waste.
Yes. It is. Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It was really fun to talk to you guys about the project.
Of course, anytime.
Thank you for opening your heart and your bed to us.
And your big mouth.
Yeah. And your mouth.
And thank you for being a good friend to Fausto all these 25 years now, must be, right?
God,
well, there were different actors playing us back in the day.
When you were in preschool, I guess, right?
We knew each other in preschool.
Oh, that would have been something.
And you are, and good luck in San Francisco, and your bed's in Oakland, but it can go anywhere in the world if the price is right.
It can go wherever. That's right. We can ship it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Shipping is extra, and shipping and handling.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It is extra.
Handling is the fee you charge for your troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Or is $40,000 covers the handling and the taxes and all that stuff?
I'd have to know where it was going before I could answer that. If it's just down the road, maybe. But you know,
there's a nightclub in Tokyo who's like, is the shipping included? Does it come with a box of mints?
Well, you know, there is a love hotel in Osaka that I think would be great to be there. It might be a little too big. So yeah, shipping there, I'd have to do a little research on that.
Well, you buy part of a container load and then you put it in there. So it's not, you know, these things are just like flip of a switch these days now.
Yeah. It's like, it's
shipping. Yeah, you can ship it anywhere.
It's not impossible. Sure.
No. I said, just put it on wish.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you do is you put it on wish.com, and when you sell it to them, you actually just send them those little chattering teeth that you wind up. Because that's what happens on wish.com is you order something, you think it's going to be wonderful, but then all of a sudden it's just this crappy little piece of something or other, you know? You want to put it in what kind of catalog?
In the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. You know how they always have these outrageous things at Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
That's a Lillian Vernon.
Well,
or Harriet Carter.
A Lillian.
Who's Lillian? Who's Harriet? But my mother loves those catalogs. Oh, God. Someone stop her, please. Please. Karen, thank you so much.
All right, fellas.
All right,
bye-bye. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you later. Bye.
Karen Lewis lives in San Francisco, California. You can check out her giant bed at bedinyourhead.com or mouthbed.com.
I want to remind folks, too, that we couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus or become a patron at patreon.com/feastoffun. I also want to thank one of our sponsors, Uniform Teeth. If you're interested in having your teeth aligned, you can visit uniformteeth.com. They have offices in Chicago, San Francisco, and Seattle. And if you use the code FEAST, you get $150 off. I've started straightening my teeth. I started aligning my teeth last
Yeah, with you, it's not. That ain't getting straight.
That's right. I started aligning my teeth last February.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about the treatment that I've gotten. I'm super excited about how my teeth look.
I don't even recognize you anymore.
I have a few, I have like 4 or 5 weeks left of my treatment. And by the end of it, I'm just, you know, I'm super happy. It's something I've wanted to do my entire adult life. And I'm glad that I kind of took this opportunity to finally do it.
Move over, Lyle Wagner.
Again, that's uniformteeth.com.
Uniformteeth.com. Use the coupon code FEAST, or is it fun?
We had to have at least 4 letters, so it has
feast.
To be feast.
Yes. Feast.
Feast.
Feast. And you can straighten your teeth out and make them look amazing, like Mark's.
Thank you.
You're like a different. I don't even know you anymore.
Oh, come on.
Who are you?
Come on.
Who's that?
You know, I liked my teeth. My teeth were okay as they were, and I think they were fine. But you know, when you look at pictures and how people look on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, I want to put my best teeth forward.
I mean, people used to nickname you Jack.
That's not true. You did. You keep trying to make that joke work, and it's not going to work.
The jacked up teeth you got. And now it's like, you got this just like, it looks like people are asking you if you got dentures. Like, they look so perfect.
No one has asked me if I've gotten dentures.
They're like,
and the work
did Mark get into a fight or something?
The work's not done yet. I still have about a month left to go. But, you know, it's uniform teeth. The stuff works pretty quickly. You know, it's they say that it's like 40% less time than Invisalign, or is it 40% less cost? I forget.
And in terms of like your teeth being aligned, have you noticed like any changes in your ability to clean them and your sleeping or eating?
I think that I do have like my teeth were a little crowded, so I have some little more space in between some of them in one area. So flossing is a little bit easier. Yeah.
And in terms of like chewing,
hasn't really been any effect. And I know that some people have said that they've had some real problems when they've used stuff like Smile Direct because, you know, they give you 6 months. You don't really see in person a qualified orthodontist, whereas I've seen a qualified orthodontist many times, you know, for my initial evaluation, for some checkups. They did some other procedures. So that's the kind of thing, because if you really want to move your teeth around, you really need to see a qualified person for it. And Uniform Teeth is much cheaper than Invisalign.
Take it from Martha Ray, the big mouth. Polydent. No, this is take it from the other big mouth, Mark Felian, in Chicago. Uniform Teeth, honey. They'll give you the hookup. Tell them Feast of Fun sent you. Tell them coupon Feast.
That's
feast,
right.
Feast, baby. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun, once again, is made possible because of your fabulous support. Fierce fabulous support. Subscribe to this podcast wherever fine podcasts are found. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. We're not on Snapchat.
Well, I don't.
I mean, we have a Snapchat thing. We never use it. We're on Facebook, the Facebook groups, the Twitter, sometimes Instagram.
Join us in our group on Facebook. It's really a lot of fun. People post a lot of fun content.
That's really a really hip and hopping in place.
Yeah.
The Feast of Fun, facebook.com/groups/Feast of Fun. And of course, we're on YouTube because you're worth it. Subscribe.
Cooking with Drag Queens, new episodes coming soon for Pride.
Treat yourself. Otherwise, you cheat yourself. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.